Ah, oh, great to hear that again. U2's Angel of Harlem on BBC Wiltshire. This is Wild About Wiltshire. I hope it finds you well this evening. At this time, every Wednesday evening in Wild About Wiltshire, we welcome someone who lives and works in the Wiltshire countryside. And tonight, our guest has a woodland retreat near Salisbury called Hazel Hill Wood, where he invites people to reconnect with nature. Spread across 70 acres, the wood has been used by a wide variety of groups as a retreat or a learning space. It was all the idea of Alan Heeks, who, when I spoke to him, explained when he fell in love with the natural world outside.
Thinking back, I actually think it was my unhappy teenage years. I was a fairly sort of lonely, awkward teenager, and the place I definitely felt happiest was getting on my bike and cycling off into the woods and the countryside around Reading, where I was growing up. It's such a complete experience. You know, it's like one of the things that I really enjoy in my life these days, being able to take people into the woods, including people from London who, you know, really don't get out that much at all. And what I realise is it's a complete sensory experience. You know, it's all five senses are involved, and so you're absorbed in this wonderful, kind of very sort of unwinding and inspiring natural environment.
So take us now to the point that you have created these two interesting outdoor places. What are they, first of all?
So the first one, which kind of still surprises me because I was never intending to do something like this, is that I started an educational charity and an organic farm down in Dorset. I had made a bit of money from a business I set up, and I thought there's something good to do with this capital. Mm. And out of nowhere came this idea, well, you could create a farm to work with young people. Which was a great idea, except that I had absolutely no relevant experience whatsoever. You know, I didn't know about farming, I didn't know about charities, I didn't know about education. I knew about being an unhappy young person, but apart from that. Anyway,
that's quite a learning curve, isn't it?
Oh, it was staggering. Yeah. And I'm very proud of the fact that, you know, I haven't been directly involved with it for probably 15 years, but it's still going strong, and I'm really proud of the work it's doing. So that's a place called Magdalen Farm, and it's a fantastic learning environment for kids to come down to.
So the farm and the educational charity is one of your outdoor interesting places.
Yes.
The second is right here in Wiltshire, Hazel Hill Wood. So how did that come about?
Well, that was another kind of surprise. So, you know, when I made this capital in the late 1980s from helping to set up a building materials business, I thought, well, I'd like to kind of do something fun with some of this money. And so I had this impulse to buy a wood. I thought, no, that sounds fun. To me, it was like the sort of eco-equivalent of people who might buy a yacht or a Maserati. You know, that's never interested me. But this was a kind of, you know, virtuous eco-equivalent.
Wow.
So, I did a bit of research, and I found this really nice wood, which is called Hazel Hill Wood, 7 miles southeast of Salisbury. It's a 70-acre wood. And at the time, it was owned by a pension fund who realised they weren't going to make money out of it. So it purely run as a sort of commercial piece of forestry. And again, I started from a position of complete ignorance. You know, I didn't know anything about forestry at all. So you can see there's a pattern here.
You like the deep end. That's the pattern.
I like the deep end. Yeah, I think it was Mark Twain who said the best way to learn fast is to make a lot of mistakes in a short space of time.
And he wasn't wrong. Did you make many mistakes, though, with Hazel Hillwood in the beginning?
I made a few, to be honest. And but I do claim credit that I think I've learned from them. And, you know, I've been involved with this land now for 30 years, which is an amazing length of time to be, you know, deeply involved with one place.
Mm.
So to begin with, I just bought it and I thought, well, it'd be nice to have a bit of wood and look after it. And slowly I started to learn about how to look after wood from a conservation point of view, not just a kind of commercial forestry point of view. So that took a few years and a few mistakes. But, you know, it's been really well cared for 25 years.
And what kind of trees have you got there? What kind of woodland is it?
It's a very mixed woodland, and I'm quite proud of that. So we have wonderful beech trees, big old oak trees. We've got areas with young birch trees. We've got hornbeam, which is quite an unusual tree. And we've also got quite a lot of conifers. And I really value the conifers. People don't get so excited about them, but actually the Scots pine we have, which are, you know, magnificent trees, really sort of, you know, they're a valuable crop, but they're also a beautiful tree. So it's a very diverse woodland. And one of the things that I've realised over time is that it's really important to create glades and openings in the wood, because it's in the openings that you get the wildflowers at ground level. And in terms of the wildlife, you know, the deer, the butterflies, the insects, a lot of them actually need open spaces at ground level, not just trees everywhere.
Mm. And how has it changed the wood? I mean, you describe it as a magical place, this wood near Salisbury. So how has it changed? How has it become magical, or has it always been magical?
Well, that's a really good question. I think it's a bit of each. I mean, I think it's important that it's what's called an ancient woodland site, meaning that in that area southeast of Salisbury, there has been a forest for literally hundreds of years. It goes back to the time of Clarendon Palace and a royal hunting forest, which included Hazel Hill Wood, I think, in the 14th century. So there is something about the land has been wooded for a very long time. But when I bought the wood, it really felt pretty bleak. You know, it wasn't cared for in any real sense. The wildlife habitat certainly hadn't been looked at. So, I mean, the first change was about 25 years ago when I found people to advise me on conservation. We started looking after it, and it really became what I would call almost a community that included, you know, the wildlife. So what we're really trying to do, I say that my primary client is the wildlife, and I have to imagine, you know, if it could do text messages and email, what would it be sending me messages about?
Yeah.
So listening to, if you like, the voices of the wood has become very important.
Listening there to the voice of Alan Heeks, author, workshop leader and creator of Interesting Outdoor Spaces is how he describes himself. He was talking there about his woodland retreat, Hazel Hill Wood, near Salisbury. And in the next 10 minutes here on Wild About Wiltshire, we're going to be hearing a little bit more about the young people and the many others who have been helped to reconnect with nature again and sort out all sorts of issues in their lives just by being and staying in Hazel Hill Wood. Our big guest this week is Alan Heeks. He set up a woodland retreat in Hazel Hill Wood near Salisbury and describes himself as an author, workshop leader and creator of Interesting Outdoor Spaces. He's been telling us how he came to take on Hazel Hill Wood, and now he explained to me how it's changed over the years, particularly after he decided to bring people into it.
About 25 years ago, I got interested in bringing people to the wood.
Oh.
So the real catalyst was that this was when my daughters were coming into their teenage years, and I thought, how does a teenager make sense of adult life? You know, and it's got a lot worse since they were that age.
Yeah.
And that led me to looking at what is sometimes called rites of passage. So it's almost like a sort of ritual event to help teenagers to move towards adult life. And there's something called a vision quest, which goes back to the sort of Celtic tradition and the Native American tradition, where you spend 24 hours doing a kind of vigil on your own in one place in nature. And I found someone who trained with this. So we decided to run a vision quest for teenagers at Hazel Hill Wood.
Well, that's quite brave.
It was it was brave. Well, there's another theme going on here, if you like, but I mean, what was satisfying about that was that that group of teenagers really said it was life-changing. They said, you know, I kind of found wisdom from the wood itself. So this idea.
So how did it actually work with that group?
The whole process was 7 days, because we felt like we needed to help people get to know each other, get to know us as the adults who were kind of guiding them, get to know the wood. So there were 2 full days of preparation. Then there was the vigil. And what we felt was that actually coming out was even more delicate, because you don't want to sort of come out of a 24-hour vigil in the wood and just sort of put people on a bus back home.
And what happens during the vigil?
What happened was that basically these teenagers faced their fears. So some of them were really scared of the dark. Some of them were scared of being on their own, being out of doors. Some of them were really scared about creepy crawlies. So all of them had something that was quite scary about doing this. And all of them came back. All of them came back really sort of glowing, saying, you know, I found courage in myself. I don't have to run away from things. You know, I'm stronger than I thought I was.
Wow. That must make you feel incredible.
It does. And in a way, that's the catalyst for everything that's happened since then. That was when I really understood what the wood could do for people. A lot's happened since then. I mean, the major thing is that we now have really lovely wooden off-grid buildings for up to about 24 people to stay, so that people can really get, you know, an in-depth experience any time of year. We can work with people who are sort of, you know, older, more fragile, need more comfort. But in a way, it's all back to that first experience. It's people just find something different by being out in a wood.
What? I mean, I remember the hug a tree, the kind of way that we were being encouraged to be at peace in woodland and with trees. What is it about human beings and trees that has this kind of life-changing connection as those teenagers made and many others that have come through Hazel Hillwood have made? I mean, it sounds like so much hooey, but obviously it isn't. So what is it, Alan?
Well, so one of the good things in the last sort of 4 or 5 years is that two books have come out which give loads of really good, you know, medical and technical research that confirms things that I've found out by common sense. So it is clear that it's not hooey. Mm. And those two books, one's called The Hidden Life of Trees, which has been quite a bestseller, and the other one is called Your Brain on Nature, published by two doctors at Harvard Medical School, quoting loads of medical research. And I think what's interesting, particularly the medical stuff, is that one of the reasons it's become so crucial now is because of the use of social media, smartphones, the fact that people are on screens for literally hours and hours per day makes us all kind of in a continual state of tension. And what the research confirms is that the absolute best antidote to all that is actually to be out in nature.
Your whole charity is about reconnecting people with nature through woodland. What does it give to you?
Well, so to me personally, the time that I spend in the wood just keeps me kind of settled and straight and clear. You know, I find everyday ordinary life with phones and computers really quite stressful and quite distracting. It feels like it's always sort of pulling you out of yourself. Mm. And the place I come back to myself is very definitely Hazel Hill Wood. But the other answer is that I just get huge satisfaction in seeing that this works for other people. And you know, I get a lot of gratitude from people saying, who come to Hazel Hill Wood saying, wow, what you've set up here is amazing.
You yourself have written several books and you run so many courses and events. But one of the things that keeps cropping up is maturing well, embracing the mature years. Why is that? Why has that become important to you?
Well, it's become important because of my own journey, you could say. I had a 26-year-old marriage that broke up just before my 50th birthday. And, you know, my early 50s were a time of complete upheaval. I had health crises, work crises and so on. And I felt really lost. And it took me quite a few years to sort of put myself back together again. And Hazel Hill Wood was absolutely crucial in that process. I turned 70 this year, and I find it a bit of a joke because I don't feel 70. People say you don't look 70.
You don't sound 70.
Well, exactly. I don't feel it. It has been quite a big thing turning 70. It's made me think a lot about, that I think there is still a lot of prejudice in our society about age. And whereas I was still carrying some of that, I thought, 70 sounds seriously old. Do I want to be 70? So I've had to work on that. And so I've shared some of that experience in two of the books that I've written. The first one, which sort of was about the kind of turning 50 stuff, is actually called Out of the Woods, A Guide to Life for Men Beyond 50, because not only did Hazel Hill Wood help me a lot, but I've been quite involved in leading men's groups at Hazel Hill. Mm-hmm. And I think that men, and particularly sort of men getting older, really need a sense of almost tribal community, which you can feel much more easily if you're kind of sat outside in a forest around a campfire than if you're sat in a kind of, somebody's sitting room.
Alan Heek's there talking about his woodland retreat near Salisbury and how it's helping a widening range of people from the NHS, schools and business. And if you'd like to find out a little bit more about hazelhill.org.uk, you want to visit or you want to work there, then just check out the website, which is hazelhill.org.uk. Still to come, Alan will visit our virtual wilderness and talk about his tools of survival. Dodgy on BBC Wiltshire. That's good enough. This is Wild About Wiltshire. I'm Sue Kinnear. Hope you're doing good this evening. Our guest this hour has been Alan Heeks, whose woodland retreat, Hazel Hill Wood near Salisbury, has helped many people reconnect with nature. He's been explaining how many, including doctors, teachers and young people, have all benefited from staying in the ancient woodland. It was an idea sparked when his own daughter was a teenager. But now, at this time, as it always is, it's time to take Alan into Wild About Wiltshire's virtual wilderness. And as the wind swirls about, we ask all our guests the same questions to find out a little bit more about what makes them tick. So the first question for Alan Heeks, as it always is, was what food does he most like to eat in the great outdoors?
What I enjoy is homemade wholemeal bread with peanut butter and jam. It might not be that exotic, but it really keeps me going even in cold weather like this.
And would you take that in your rucksack already made up in sandwich form? Or would take the ingredients and make it up each time?
No. So one of the things I don't leave home without when I go to the wood is a little food saver with a sandwich lovingly made up in the kitchen.
Ah, fantastic. So I'm not sure if that's preempted the next question we ask, which is which piece of kit do you never leave home without? So given that you've got your sandwich, which piece of kit do you never leave home without?
My fire lighting kit. And I wish I could say that it was kind of, you know, a flint and tinder or something like that, but it's basically a cigarette lighter and a bit of wax and, you know, some newspaper and kindling. But one of the things that really sort of transforms any circle at Hazel Hill, whether it's one person or 20 people, is a campfire. So, you know, like I was at Hazel Hill Wood last night, a lovely cold frosty night with the stars out, and sitting there with a small campfire was just a real delight.
Yeah, very warming, but just lovely to watch, better than watching the telly, isn't it?
Well, sometimes, you know, like I remember with these hospital doctors, we were sitting around a campfire at night, you know, they were opening their hearts. I thought, you know what, if we didn't actually have a campfire here, we'd somehow, this would never be happening.
Yeah.
You know, you'd all feel a bit strange sitting around in the dark in a wood. Mm. But with a campfire, there's something kind of, I don't know, primitive and tribal that comes out. You know, you realise that human beings have been doing this for, you know, thousands of years, really.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the kind of weather that you most enjoy when you're outside?
Well, I mean, I genuinely do enjoy almost every weather. I mean, even heavy rain can be quite fun. But in a way, sort of last night was one of my favourite times at the wood. There's something very super magical about being in the wood in the dark. You know, the owls come out, the stars come out. There's a sort of stillness about it. So you really can kind of just, you know, start to chill out and, you know, being out with a campfire at night on a clear night is just probably as good as it gets for me.
Fantastic. Finally, Alan, what is the soundtrack that you would take with you for your time in the wilderness?
Yeah, this was, to be honest, this was tricky, Sue, because, you know, what I most value in the wilderness is the silence of the wilderness itself.
Yes.
But I chose Woodstock for a lot of reasons. I really love this song. And one of the themes I've explored in this book, Not Fade Away, that came out this year, is really about the idealism of the 1960s and why we need that kind of idealism today. You know, these are very difficult times we're living in. And for me, what the song Woodstock conjures up is both idealism, but also collective idealism. You know, it's that sense that we have to kind of find that hope together. You know, it's, by the time we got to Woodstock, we were 500,000 strong. Everywhere there was song and celebration. You know, it's like, that's what we need to get back to somehow.
That sense of community, hope, optimism, all of that.
Yeah.
Crosby, Stills and Nash, Woodstock, the choice of Alan Heaps. Thank you.
Thank you. Been a pleasure.
Said I'm going.
Crosby, Stills and Nash with Woodstock, taking us back to 1971, a time when our guest this evening, Alan Heeks, remembered being more about togetherness and community, and a time he kind of hankers after and misses.